Well, we're planting connect groups all over this valley right now. It's very exciting. It's very exciting. Some things are happening right now, this week. It's fantastic. And we're going to get with you. We want everybody connected here in the valley. You know, one of the really remarkable things about the Son of God is the way he described himself. Other people described him as masterful teacher, a rabbi who could take the word and quote the scripture. It is said in the word that some people were amazed at his teaching. He spoke like nobody else, they said. He did wonders and miracles, and people were amazed about his power and his speaking ability and the way he gathered crowds to himself. But what did he say about himself? "Come to me," Jesus said, "all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." I am gentle and humble in heart. Those are servant terms. When thinking about our service to God and each other, I focused last Sunday morning on the psalmist's declaration, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness." I need a heart that is honoring and excited and wanting to praise God in every way I can. He wants my heart to do that. He wants me to be that kind of servant with him. And now I find it so significant this morning that when Jesus once and for all gave us a little glimpse of himself and the real inner character, he uses words like gentle and humble. He was a servant. He loved serving others. Perhaps we are never more like our master than when we fit his description of himself. Are you gentle and humble? Dave, am I gentle and humble in heart? The lifestyle of serving Christ and serving others through marks like gentleness and humility was, in my opinion, best demonstrated when he washed the feet of his friends, the disciples, and he served them. It was a magnificent moment. It is there that I think we find some timeless principles about our service to God and others. First, just this background information is important. One must remember that the scene before us that we will enter into momentarily is a scene in Jerusalem. Sandals were even more popular then than they are today. Because there were no paved roads and there was dirt and dust everywhere, and it was pretty customary for the host of every home to provide a slave at the door of the home and wash the feet of the dinner guests as they arrived. What is really kind of interesting to me as we look at John 13 together is that no one offered to do that task as Jesus and his disciples met together. So the room, I think, was filled with proud hearts and dirty feet. I say that because the conversation that they were having together was around the prominence of places in heaven. You know, where we're going to be able to sit at the big table, Rabbi? What's it going to be like in heaven? And that's the conversation. And then an amazing demonstration occurred. If you brought a Bible this morning, turn with me to John 13, verse 1. John 13, verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he began to pour water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel. Now, I think the first timeless principle here is that genuine service is unannounced. Genuine service, when it's service in my heart because my love for God is so great, I want to serve Him and I want to serve others, then it's unannounced. Jesus never said, "Man, listen up. Here's the lesson for today. I hope you get it. Hello, get this." He didn't say that. No, no way. That was the kind of pride that was reserved for the Pharisees who were famous for it. You didn't need to wonder if they were humble. They would tell you they were humble. Instead, Jesus, according to the text, said nothing. Did you catch that? They were having supper and he just got up and he began to serve them and wash their feet. And amazing to me, he simply moved away from the table where they were and found a basin with water and a towel and moved from one to another. Remember, in those days, people reclined at a table, much like they do in other parts of the world today. The table was low. It was really just a block of wood with food on it. For the most part, they ate with their hands. They didn't use utensils like we will later on today. This Eastern position meant that if your feet were not clean, the guy next to you was very much aware of it. It would be hard to ignore it, I think. And then as Jesus reached Peter, wouldn't we love to see a video clip of that? Things had really became, I suggest, really quiet. What's he doing? They were having a conversation. They were just having a meal. But what on earth is the Master doing now? And when he reached Peter, I pick up the reading in your text to verse 6. So he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said, "Do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand it soon." Peter said, "Never, never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon responded, "Lord, then wash all of me. All of me." And Jesus said, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you," referring to Simon. Jesus was not drawing any kind of attention to himself. He was the servant. It's a beautiful moment. It's almost a typical scene in a household there in Jerusalem because of the roads and people coming in and with dirty feet. Somebody would often meet them and wash their feet before we moved on to eat together. But it was always a slave that was put in that position to do that, not the owner, not the host, not the leader, not the rabbi, not Jesus. Genuine service, if it's from here, is unannounced. You don't have to say, "I'm about to serve you." It just happens. A second timeless principle in our scripture text this morning is that genuine service includes receiving graciously as well as giving graciously. Peter wasn't about to be vulnerable like that. After all, Jesus was his master. No way was he going to let the Lord wash his feet. I ask you this morning, was that being gentle and humble? No way. Being willing to receive sometimes takes more grace than giving to others. Sometimes reluctance to do so really exposes pride in us, doesn't it? Not me. Not me. Why is that so hard for the Peters of the world, of the church? Often it's an issue of pride. Those of us here this morning who are leaders, who are self-sufficient people, who believe we can take care of ourselves, and after all, it's our job to help somebody else and lead somebody else in the family. That's our job. Have the hardest time, like Peter, receiving somebody's gift. It can be really difficult when you find yourself more often than not on the giving side, not the receiving side, but pride fights hard to stay intact. We are soon to enter into a beautiful Christmas season again. It's coming very quickly, in which there will be a lot of giving and receiving. And even though we are so accustomed to believing that it is more blessed to give than receive, it can also be a great time of gentleness and humility to learn to receive graciously as well. It took Peter a moment to get that. Not long. Lord, I think I know what you're saying. Wash all of me. I love you, O Father, O Jesus. For some, it's a real battle, like Peter, to graciously receive somebody else's gift. Maybe you understand that kind of reluctance. Genuine service was sometimes hard for him as the leader. He was in charge often. He answered the questions more often than not. Yet Jesus had a strong rebuke for his friend when he said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." Pride. Pride enters in whether you're on the giving side or the receiving side. And we're to counter that prideful, reluctant, arrogant spirit by allowing God in Christ to serve us as He did them. I see one more important principle I want to share from this great story. Genuine service, when it's from the heart, is not a sign of weakness, but incredible strength. There is no way to ignore what I believe is a straightforward rebuke that Jesus gave him. If you won't let me, Peter, share this with you, you will have nothing to do with me. Oh, that had to hurt. That had to sting. This was one of his good, dear friends. Anybody who lives under the delusion that Jesus was acting kind of weak in this scene and is overlooking statements like this one, being a true servant from the heart, does not imply that there will never be confrontation, never that there will be no strong words that are shared with somebody else. No, not at all. It worked for Peter. And I know that he got the message because he blurted out, "Give me a bath then." You've seen a little demonstration in a different culture, in a different setting, of the servanthood of one willing to wash the feet of some friends. So Jesus responded so graciously. Peter's remark, and we read in verse 12, "So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said, 'Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, then you also should wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I have done.'" I wonder if they had expected him to say at that moment, "Guys, I washed your feet, now wash mine." But that wouldn't have been
That wouldn't have been difficult. That would have been a privilege for these men. They loved him. I don't know, they would have stood in line to want to do that for their teacher, for the Lord, that Jesus they knew and loved so well. That would not have been genuine service. Instead, he said, "What I've done to you, I want you to go and share with others. I want you to serve him, her. I want you to figure out a way to, from your heart, to meet the need of somebody else. Gentlemen, that's what I want for you. Wash one another's feet." As we think these days about our service to God and each other, and connecting in ways in which we can get better acquainted with who we are, not just in this setting, but in small groups all over, and we pour our hearts out and we lean on each other and we bear our burdens and we pray and we... It's happening all over the valley. Serve those people. Don't think of that connection as just a small group of people that have a good time and read something out of the scripture or whatever. Think of it as a way, I'm going to get to know you and serve you. I want to. And don't announce that you're going to do it. Just do it. Just think of a way that your friend in Christ needs something, or your mate, or your child, your parent, your neighbor, whatever. Think of ways you can serve others by serving God. How does that look in your life this week? May I challenge all of us this morning that as we go from this place this morning, that we jot down something we could do for somebody. And we could minister to one another in ways that maybe only God is really fully aware of in our lives. So much is happening all the time in your family and mine. And God wants to minister in both give and receive with the right spirit, the right heart. That's a beautiful, beautiful moment, wasn't it, for those men to learn that Jesus didn't just preach it and teach it. He lived it. He loved us so much. He just got down and he just washed our feet. Let's go and wash somebody else's feet. Let's learn from his great, great example. Pray with me. Father, I thank you this morning for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Rabbi, Teacher, Savior, and Lord, the greatest servant, who demonstrated the right heart at that moment he got down on the floor and washed those feet of his friends. What a moment that was for them. What a step of growth in their own personal lives. They would never forget that moment. May we think of folks in need around us and in our families and choose to talk about it when we're home, to identify somebody's need, to think in the neighborhood of someone hurting there, of reaching out, even in our own family. Maybe this family right here this morning, and serve you by serving them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.